Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
His name, he doesn't know my name.
Rad Gontos, where are you, sir? And your continuing journey as our age explorer.
Can you hear me, Paul? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can I get an SOS?
You're in the studio today. Usually you're off in the world. You're in Vegas. You're in Hawaii or someplace.
Yeah, I know, but you know what?
You got to settle down sometime.
I got to settle down. You know, I got to catch my breath.
That's it, exactly.
It's been kind of a fun couple of weeks being on the road, but man, I am tired. What is this? I just flew in and my arms are tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad joke. But it's crazy season, man. It's busy season. It's spring. It's never sitting at home. You know, looking forward. I hate to say this. I look forward to the days where I sit at my desk and to get work done, right? Instead of get away from my desk.
Well, you said it. That's the theme of today's show. It's crazy season, and we have, because it's political season. Right?
Well, it's political season. It's, you know, just for people who have not maybe seen our posting today on Facebook, I have a double header today. We've got retired Colonel Greg Rath, City Council member of Mission Viejo, candidate for Congress, on with us. And then the second half hour, we're going to be talking about another thing we face in this hectic world of ours, which is the need for balance and wellness. We're going to start that today and then lead into next week's show, which I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but it's a pretty cool show. And
right.
You know, if you do not want to miss tuning in next week and hearing, well, I guess you can't see. Maybe we can see it on YouTube,
maybe.
Too. See and hear what happens to Paul.
Oh, great.
At the age of 60, what happens next week to Paul, in accordance to Paul's own words.
Am I going to get a lap dance or something?
Wait. No, not that, because what you're going to happen to you is something that you said has never happened to you before in 60 years of being on this planet.
Oh, wow.
So lap dance, I don't think, cuts it.
No.
It
might be something. I think I've been there, right?
Okay. All right. But we lead hectic lives. We lead crazy lives. We are constantly bombarded by stuff all the time. And then, you know, here comes the political season, and it's like even, like, you know, just wrench it up a little bit, right? And a guy that basically is on the phone with us, I think, right? Is he on the phone?
He's here. He's ready to roll. He's ready to fire back.
He's been in the trenches of this. He is a retired colonel, and he has then ventured out of that arena into the political arena.
Yeah.
You know, and being
business
of service
along the way, did some business, ran some businesses,
right? And being of service is huge for him, and you know, he's involved in the community on some stuff. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rod. Love you guys.
Why in the world would you subject yourself to the political craziness after a successful career? How many years were you in the Marines?
I was 30 years in the Marine Corps. I was a jet fighter pilot, mostly based here in Southern California at the El Toro Air Base before that was shut down in 2000, and then we went down to Miramar. I flew the F-4 Phantom and then later the F-18 Hornet, mostly off of the carriers. One of them, the USS Midway, which is now a museum down in San Diego.
Exactly.
It's a great place to visit.
And weren't you the wing commander or something here in El Toro? Was something like that?
I was a squadron commander at El Toro, and then later as a group commander down in San Diego, then a wing commander later on. So I got 3 combat tours, 75 combat missions, and I just love to serve. I've been a servant my whole life, from my years as an Eagle Scout to government in high school to 30 years in the Marine Corps. Now I want to serve the people one more time. I sit on the City Council of Mission Viejo, was the mayor pro tem last year, and it's time to go to Washington to help clean up the mess, because it is a mess, and I need to bring in some strong leadership to handle it.
Well, I want to just give a shout out, because you know, Gotham has the Dark Knight, right? But we have a former Black Knights here, don't we, Greg?
Yeah.
Yes, the Black Knights of MFA 314. It was featured in the movie Independence Day with Will Smith. That was my squadron. He was Black Knight 1, and I was Black Knight 1 at the time.
So Will Smith played you in the movie. Is that typecasting, or is that perfect?
I don't know, buddy.
So haven't you been shot at enough? You got to go into politics and get shot at some more
that,
here?
Greg?
Well, I wrote a book called The Nine Lives of a Fighter Pilot.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to add a couple of chapters, I think.
Or a couple of lives, yeah.
Yeah, well, the way they're coming at me now, this is my ninth life, so I'm hanging on to your life.
Tell us the story again real quickly of you ran once before for Congress just out of the blue. Nobody knew who you were, and you just said, hey, I can run for Congress. In a world where we think, no, you got to go through years of stepping up through the political process to get all the endorsements.
Kiss the ring, get approval.
Exactly. And you did what? How did you decide, when you decide you're going to run for Congress, tell us what you did.
You want me to tell you that story?
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago, actually. I ran in 2014, and I did know the structure here in South Orange County. There's a pecking order, and I just rolled in, and I Googled how to run for Congress.
He Googled it.
You got 24% of the vote. We came very close to making it into the general. We missed it by 3,000 votes.
Wow.
The last 2 years, I've been in politics, so I understand the program now. We have a congresswoman that is not conservative, who's not voting the way we thought, so I'm challenging her.
Well, and with you Googling how to run for Congress, I mean, you know, the way the crazy stuff that they're accusing you of, somebody's going to call you a progressive for doing that.
Yeah, right.
Right.
For being free thinking.
You know, the thing about Greg, that and I really thank you for your service, seriously. I mean, you just keep coming at this and proving over and over and over that what's in your heart and why you're doing this is because you really believe in being a person who's offering service to the community. You do it as a council member in Mission Viejo. You've done it in the service, in the military service. This is the second time running for Congress. I mean, kudos to you. I don't know who has the stamina to do that, especially with what you're getting, which is really unconscionable. So nobody has any misconceptions about this. I don't have party affiliation. Okay, and
here's
Go ahead, Greg. No, go ahead.
Now, here's the thing. I was in combat, combat tours.
Right.
And when I went into war, I just didn't take the Republican Marines with me. I took every Marine.
Exactly.
Hoorah.
So when I go to Washington, I'm going to get whoever's there who wants to work together and get something done for the country.
Yeah.
The way they're doing it now and just the animosity between the parties, it has to change because people are fed up with it, and that's why this whole Trump phenomenon is going on.
Yeah.
They're fed up, and I've been encouraged by many people to please do this again, Greg. We need you in Washington, and so we're giving another shot here. The primary is June 7th, so it's less than 3 weeks.
And what district? Because I thought I live in Rancho Santa Margarita, but you weren't on the ballot for Rancho Santa Margarita. Am I right? Or is that?
No, I am in the ballot. The 45th congressional.
It's 45th congressional.
It's the 45th. Okay, I didn't know how far it extended or whatever. So roughly, give us the parameters of that district. What does it cover roughly?
Yeah, what area does it cover?
Mission Viejo to the south. It goes through Laguna Hills, Laguna Woods, Rancho Santa Margarita, Cota de Casa, Lake Forest, Irvine, Tustin, and Villa Park.
So it doesn't do Ladera. Maybe that's because I'm on the edge of Ladera here, actually, here.
Yes, it does not do Ladera. That's Terrell Issa's district.
Yes,
right. And that's exactly. down San Clemente where I am, too. So what I was going to say is, you know, I don't have party affiliations. I haven't had a registered party affiliation for a very long time.
Which makes you the part of the largest group of registered voters in the county. We think of this as still a Republican bastion, and to a certain degree it is. But when we had Neil Kelly in here from the registrar's office, he said, actually, the biggest group of voters now are the declined estates.
And has been growing for the last 8 years. And,
right.
and I'm not in Greg's
congressional district
right. either, right? But I will say this, right? I think a lot of people that I know, I feel that this ugly politics, this baloney, I mean, I have better words that I could use here, but we're on the air, that happens here during these campaigns, I'm just sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm really sick and tired of it. And I've told Greg this personally, and I will say it on the air. I am thankful that somebody like him is running, because I am so tired of politics as usual. It's gone beyond me being apathetic. I really just want it changed. Yeah. And I think the whole country, whether you're on the conservative side or on the sort of Bernie Sanders side of the spectrum, the common factor is everybody's so angry about politics as usual.
Yeah.
And so to have this person basically do politics as usual here, it's just ridiculous.
Well, let's, for those who don't know, let's at least just point it out that there was a real nasty negative ad that ran against Greg recently on cable down in the district there. You want to give us a recap, or should we just ignore it, or you want to address it?
It's up to you, Greg, if you want to talk about it.
No, absolutely. I'm running as a Republican, and I am a Republican.
Right.
To go back to what you said earlier, I was at Saddleback College registering voters the other day, and you're right. All these young students are registering decline to state because they're so fed up with both parties.
Yeah, right.
It's not like the old days. If your dad was a Democrat, you were a Democrat.
Right.
It's a whole new ball game. And so, yes, when I was a lieutenant colonel, I was sent to the Pentagon, and they interviewed me to go to the White House to work as the assistant chief of staff for the military office.
A distinguished military position office. That any officer would be proud to serve in, whoever is in office. I would think.
Absolutely. Well, you're serving the chief, the commander in chief.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
this isn't a political appointment. This isn't a political office here, right?
There's a nonpartisan office. We supply the military support to the president. Air Force One, HMX One, Camp David's run by the Navy. His whole medical team is military. His communication team is Army. So we oversaw the whole operation.
Right.
So I did that for 3 years. Bill Clinton was the president, and we were invited to the White House for a Christmas party.
You and about a million other people, I'm sure.
Right, exactly.
3,000 people, military. We each took a picture with the president and first lady, plus my wife. We're there for about 2 seconds, took the picture, moved on, and now my opponent is using that picture saying, I'm a Clinton Republican, and she's saying, I'm a friend of the Clintons. Trying to get the Republicans not to vote for me.
Yeah.
So it's just poisonous politics for my Republican competitor.
And honestly, tone deaf. I mean, totally tone deaf. Because where is that anger that goes beyond party? I mean, you're assuming that there's just going to be party loyalty. You know,
it's all about winning, and power.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do about loyalty. It's all about power and winning.
I'll tell you my story. When I was much younger in the 90s, I did a lot of PR work for different people. And through that, I got to meet Maureen Reagan, the late president's the late great Maureen Reagan, who's no longer with us. But she ran for Congress in 92 and down up in the South Bay area. And she, I thought, did everything. She was probably more of a moderate Republican, kind of matched my more moderate to liberal tendencies. And I thought she was wonderful. So whether you like her or not, she went out and did all the things right. She went to every town hall. She went to every coffee class. She walked neighborhoods. She did everything she could to get out and meet the public and really present her position, as I know you have too. And at the very last minute, her opponent, who never attended anything, never showed up anywhere, just ran a hit piece on her, and it came out the last weekend, and we went from being 5 points up to 5 points down. She had no way to respond to it, and it was all the same kind of just really wrong-headed stuff. It took some little thing and blew it way up out of proportion, and from that she left. And from that I said, never again. I'm out of politics. I said that if you find somebody you believe in and they do everything they can to present themselves to the people, and yet it comes down to a negative ad like that, then why bother?
Well, let me ask you something, Greg. This is something about this political season specifically that actually has just been fascinating and at the same time very annoying for me as a voter. Okay? It seems like we don't talk about the issues. There's nobody running on what they would do. Everybody's running on how I am not the other person.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Don't vote for me. Vote against the other person here.
Do you find that to be the case?
Well, in this race, you know, I'm laying out my agenda. You know, I sit on a council of Mission Viejo. We have a balanced budget. We have a surplus. We have an amazing relationship with the Orange County Sheriff's Department that we contract out for our safety. We're considered the safest city in California. And I have a strong record of leadership, and I'm trying to get that out. And now I'm trying to defend myself on a stupid. And that's just one TV. There's three TV commercials.
I've only seen one of them.
There's two
So what do you say to people? Everybody says the same thing. I just gave you a story from 92. Things haven't changed that much in the last 20 years or whatever. Everybody says they hate hit pieces, they hate negative ads, they hate all the name calling, and yet it seems to work. If it didn't work, people wouldn't do it. You know, how do we break that cycle? And at the same time, what it does is it turns off more and more people. The last go-round here in Orange County, I believe we were down in the 30s. That means of the people who are registered to vote, which is not everybody who's eligible. I think it's pretty high in this county. I think 70 or 80% of the people who could vote are registered. But of that group, only about a third of them showed up. The rest of them said the heck with it.
Well, you know, I'm out there in the trenches. I'm going door to door. I'm making phone calls. We have volunteers. I've been endorsed by the California Republican Assembly, which is the conservative wing of the party. I was endorsed with over 90% of the vote from the delegates. So they understand my record as a conservative and as a Republican. Plus, you know, I just know these people. I live in the district. I've known these people for years. My opponent, she doesn't even live in the district. She lives in Laguna Beach, which is Dana Robacher's district.
Yeah.
Now, by law, by the Constitution, you don't have to live in the district. But once you think you would want to represent the district and the neighbors and your friends that you know.
Yeah, you would think so.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was the mayor pro tem, Mission Viejo last year. I was in a leadership position. And our congresswoman never came once to me or the mayor saying, what can I do for you in Washington?
Hmm.
Because she's just so out of touch with our district.
Well, she has been a career politician. I mean, she's kind of the other end of the spectrum here. She's been doing this for a long time, right? She's had lots of different positions here in the county, as I recall.
She may be a fine woman and a wonderful family, but I think it's time. People are just tired of the same old, same old. They're looking for some leadership.
So is this the year of the outsider? You think that'll carry down the ballot here and people will just say, try something? What's new? Let me give me something new here. Give me a Greg Rass. Give me somebody else here.
I think it's the whole Trump phenomenon, how people are just up with the status quo. And you know when this started? It was 2014. I'll tell you what happened, and this is what got me to run.
Mm-hmm.
2014, we put in 244 Republican congressmen. 244.
Yeah.
We put in 54 senators, which took over the Senate. And the first thing they did, they put Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate, and they put Boehner in charge of the House. Two career establishment politicians.
Right, yeah.
Not a message. And then when it came to putting the budget together, they bundled it all up in this omnibus bill, $1 trillion, and they packed on all of Obama's agenda, Planned Parenthood, the amnesty program, the Obamacare, and they voted on it, Republican. And she voted for that.
Yeah.
And that's when I said enough is enough. I was watching her voter record, and many people came to me and said, please, Greg, would you do this? And I said, absolutely. So your first question was, why put yourself into this arena?
Yeah.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt said it best. You've got to get into the arena. You may get scarred. You may get beat up. You may get full of blood and dust, but at least you're in the arena. Someone who never got into the arena.
That was his famous thing, the man in the arena. You know, he wasn't there a poem or something like that?
1910 speech he gave. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know what? That's fine. We've wasted 15 minutes of this show basically talking about how there's been an attack. I want to hear from you, Greg, because of exactly what Paul just said. What is it that you're in South County, you are representing the congressional district, you're running for that office. Tell me about the platform. Tell me what Greg Rath brings to the table. Let's talk about the benefits of you in that role versus why we don't like the person who maybe is there right now.
Or why we want something new, right? Why should they want something new?
The first 15 minutes was not a waste of time. Let me make that quite clear.
Never.
Okay, I'm a veteran, 30 years in the Marine Corps. I see these long 15, 16-year-old wars going on in Afghanistan. Now we're right back in Iraq, and this stuff has to stop.
I love it.
Okay? Amen.
These young men and women are coming back scarred, if not physically, mentally. The VA system is broken. I'm a veteran. After World War II, 75% of all Congress people were veterans. Right now, it's less than 18%.
Isn't that amazing? We've talked about that before, and we've got a government on both sides of the aisle that is very willing to use American power and to enter into what we think are going to be quick police actions and turn into prolonged, whatever, nation-building things here. They turn into 10 years of combat, 15 years of combat, and yet none of them, almost none of them, really know what it's like to be in there. I find that amazing that so many people don't, that we don't put more veterans into these positions.
Rod, they're still there in Afghanistan, fighting every day. We don't hear about it.
I know.
I mean, these guys are coming back wounded. I'm the president and CEO of a charity called Patriots and Paws. I give back to my community. We just had a big golf tournament the other day, raising money. We rescue dogs and match them and train them and match them with veterans who need some type of assistance.
Heck of a program. We've had them. We've had them on here and talked about that. A really cool idea to give them some comfort, to give them some companionship, to give them some way to get them to connect to the world and care.
Look,
back again.
I mean, one of the things I really appreciate and respect about Greg is that he walks the talk.
Yeah.
And his involvement with the veterans is every day. You know, you're absolutely right. We've got people that are suffering, and maybe it's not newsworthy to where it's basically on every evening's news broadcast. But these are people that basically need to be championed. They need somebody to basically, you know, stand for them. And kudos for you for doing.
We ask them to do the unthinkable, and then we sort of throw them away. Don't think about them.
You had Penny Lambright. She's the founder of this charity, and I was on board a couple of years ago to help her. And we also have a large warehouse in the city of Warren, 7,000 square feet full of furniture, refrigerators, stoves, beds, anything. Any veteran, walk in, take anything he wants, and we'll actually deliver it. So what we do is we go out and pick up used furniture and bring it to the warehouse, and then we distribute it to veterans. So it's called Patriots and Paws. .org if people are interested, if they want to contribute, or if they have any furniture they would like us to pick up, we will absolutely do it.
And go back and listen to the other episode we did with Penny. It was really pretty edgy. She brought in some veterans, and they pretty much
it was pretty it raw. We had a pretty raw. Yeah, it was a pretty raw. Greg, I want to ask you a question relevant to another vulnerable population, and it's really kind of in our neck of the woods, you and I mean South County, but more so also Orange County, is the senior population. Okay, and this show tends to be more, you know, sort of a journey of aging and so forth. So I just want to talk about that because I saw something in the Orange County Register a couple of weeks ago that basically said that Orange County is the largest concentration of seniors in the country by population, and that places like Newport Beach, San Clemente, different these communities have become naturally occurring retirement communities. Basically, with 20% of the population being 65 and older, right? I mean, the whole infrastructure of communities changing because of age demographics. How do we address this reality that is part of your district, is going to be part of your congressional district, Greg? Do you have any ideas on that?
I do, and I deal with the seniors in our. We have two senior communities in Mission Viejo. It's called Costa del Sol and Palmia. I'm with these people quite often, and then Laguna Woods is a whole senior city. You have to be 55 or older, I believe, or 50 or over to live in the city. I talk to them. Here's what the travesty is. The country's in $20 trillion in debt. $4 trillion of that debt was taken out of the Social Security Trust Fund.
Oh, wow.
Fund other
I thought it's supposed to be a lockbox. I thought it's supposed to be behind iron bars here or something.
No, that's the problem. That money was taken and it was stolen. The Social Security recipients, there's a lot that go paycheck to paycheck. So they can't wait to the third Wednesday or the second Wednesday whenever they get their check. And they've only had three raises in the last 6 years, and that was very minuscule. So when it comes to all these other programs, the money pours into it. But when it comes to our seniors, they're left hanging. So I will do everything in my power to ensure that our seniors are taken care of. I go to Laguna Woods almost on a weekly basis. I talk to the Republican Club. I actually talk to a Tea Party Club. I talk to whatever club they'll want me to have, the golf club, and listen to them. And literally, some of them just go paycheck to paycheck.
A lot of them now.
In the 90s, their savings are gone. They're living on Social Security. And when they haven't been given a raise in the last 2 years because the government's saying there's no inflation, whether drugs prices are going up, the cost of living for food is going up. That's just not right. So I will do whatever I can in my power as their congressman to help them ensure that they get the the money they need to ensure that they live a...
In a way, veterans and seniors have a similar dilemma where they basically are vulnerable populations that are in many cases get sidelined.
They don't have the advocacies. They don't have anybody.
Everybody's, they do. Greg's one of them that champions those things.
But I mean, they don't have. Everybody says, you say you love seniors, you love veterans. Of course. What have you done for either group lately? Not much. The assumption is somebody's taking care of that, but not me.
Oh, Social Security will take care of it.
Yeah.
The government will take care of veterans, right? But yet the.
And here's
so
the other
suffer.
Thing that strikes me so much. This conversation's starting to hit home. I'm 60. I think Greg's got maybe even a year or two on me here, and all of a sudden, this isn't them. This is us.
Yes.
And we're lucky us. We're going to live to be 90 or 100. We're going to live longer than any generation ever has with lower savings and less safety net. Less than 10% of us have pensions, and most of us have less than $70,000 saved. So how are we going to make it for 30 or 40 years? I think there's an impending crisis coming here.
So go ahead, Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Here's a statistic. 90 million Americans have less than $500 in a bank.
Wow.
They go paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Many of those are.
And so the assumption was I can work forever, but what happens when you can't work or the only work you can get doesn't pay what it used to pay or something?
Well, you're living on the razor's edge. I mean, that's very common for a lot of people these days, and we just ignore like that. That's not the reality. It is, even in Orange County, in affluent Orange County.
Right.
With a couple minutes, I want to get this in.
All right.
Me being a military man, people go, oh, he must be pro-war and all this. I hate war. I've been in 3 wars. That has to stop.
Yes.
We don't want our military in the wars.
Amen. And Robert E. Lee once said Robert E. Lee said it's good the war is so bad, otherwise we might grow too fond of it. You know, the military people are usually not the hawks.
Here's the thing. Peace through strength. But I understand the Pentagon. I worked 3 years in war. I've been inside the Pentagon. I've been inside the White House. I've been inside Congress. I understand Washington. I know Washington. And now there's a new airplane coming out, the F-35 Lightning. So as a fighter pilot, everybody, oh, he must love this airplane. It's terrible. $1.5 trillion to buy, I think, I don't know how many they're going to buy, 1,400 or something like that.
Yeah.
$280 million a piece. The helmet alone for the pilot is $500,000.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
If he gets a raise, that is just wrong.
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
Powerful stuff. Yeah.
So I've got a suggestion for you. I'd like to make this offer on the air. We've talked about this here before, Paul and I, and I think June might be the month to do it in. Greg, we're talking about taking we do an episode every week. We do a show every week. We're thinking of taking one of the shows every month and making it into a Veterans Hour. And I would like to extend an invitation to you to actually come in. You have a busy schedule with your campaign. If you want to look and see what may be available for you on a Wednesday in June, I would love to have you be our guest to kick off Veterans Hour, and so the focus would be specifically on veterans. We can talk maybe about seniors a little bit, but I really think this is something that really needs to be highlighted, and we feel so passionately about it. I want to put that out there for you and invite you to be my guest.
We've even thought of spinning it off to its own show or something, because
yeah,
I think, again, it's a topic that nobody talks about. It's a hidden population, homeless, veterans, seniors. There's all sorts of these at-risk groups that just nobody's advocating or talking about enough.
And I don't want to put you on the spot or give me an answer on the air, but if you would consider that, I would appreciate it, and maybe let me know if you're interested in doing that, Greg.
Absolutely. And people go, well, you don't like this airplane. What's your problem? You could buy 3 Super Hornets, the F-18ENF, for the price of one F-35 with a 10-year guarantee of parts and labor from Boeing, and that's already in production.
Wow.
But you know what? You know, they put all these contracts in all these congressional districts. So these congressmen, they don't want to give it up because it loses some jobs in their district.
Well, that's been the problem with all these procurement programs. They no longer benefit one district. They've consciously spread them all over the country. So you've got all these people advocating for their share of the pie here.
We're saying we don't want this. We don't want this stuff. They throw it on us, and we're the military. So with some more veterans in Congress, we can stop some of these crazy programs and make sure the money goes where it's supposed to go. And number one is to get this damn budget under control.
Yeah.
It's way out of whack. This country's ready to implode the way we're going. We cannot sustain the amount of deficit spending this country goes through.
And say what you will about Bill Clinton and all his craziness, personal problems, but oddly enough, as a Democrat, he pushed what had always been a Republican position and balanced the budget. And it was then a following, I'm sorry to get on my political rant here, but it was a following Republican that took it and blew it up again here. And I don't know why we can't seem to control the I've always thought, you know, why can't we just, you know, pay as we go for these things? If we're going to do a war, great, then everybody kicks in and we go pay for it.
$5 trillion in Iraq. And yeah. What a waste of money.
What a waste of money when we so need it here.
Yeah.
So
right.
many people that could benefit.
Lives and money. Endless wars. All right. Well, and we could talk endlessly about this. When's the election up? Yeah. Give us the date again here.
And the website where you can get show your some support, Greg.
June 7th, which is 3 weeks from yesterday, is the election. Absentee ballots are already in the mailbox. My name is Greg Rath, R-A-T-H-S. .com is my website. If you wanted to learn more about me, if you even want to contribute, I'll take contributions, because we're up against a juggernaut woman who does not want to leave the power, and we're going to do very, very well on June 7th, and I thank you for your time.
Oh, our pleasure, Greg, and I just want to be on record, too, that you absolutely have my endorsement.
And how does the system work? Is this somebody's going to win and then go on against a Democratic opponent, or isn't this set up differently these days where the top vote-getters all face off or something? How does it work again here? Remind us.
Called a guerrilla primary. There's four of us running, two Republicans, two Democrats. It's a heavily Republican district. So it's the top two vote-getters move to the general election. It could be myself and our city congresswoman. It could be myself and a Democrat.
Right.
And so I need to be in the top two. We're looking good right now. We have a strong ground game. We're hitting the floor. We're talking to people. So June 7th, we need to be in the top two. So I ask for all your listeners for their vote.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for joining us, Greg. I appreciate you making the time.
Okay. You guys take care, and I look forward to that Veterans Day event.
Okay, good. Very much. All right. Talk to you later. All right. Let's take a quick commercial. Let some of that sink in, and we'll come back and switch guests here right after a word from our sponsor.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Okay, we're back. Boy, was that heated or what?
Wow. Well, I think he represents, pull us back a little bit to the show here. There are a lot of people who ain't done yet, who hit their 60s, retire from one career, and say, I got more to give. And I think he's one of those.
Well, and I think we're going to see more of that. I'm kind of looking forward, hoping that we see more of that. Because, again, like we said, we are an aging county. And we have people that still have a lot to offer.
Yeah, we're not done at 65 when we retire. We're not going to go play golf like the previous generations did. I mean, that's not our total calling. I think we're still people called to work as volunteers, to work in charities, to start new careers, to start new businesses,
right.
And to start getting involved.
You know what I find fascinating, Paul? Remember when McCain ran last time as a presidential candidate, and there was this whole concern about, well, you know, he may be too old. What if he happens to have a heart attack?
Same thing with Bernie. They're talking Bernie would be the oldest.
Right. Actually, that's a very good point. And here's Bernie, right? And we're talking about this. And the funny thing, though, is the level of that conversation as far as traction is less.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's an indirect indicator for, I mean, indirectly, that really speaks to the fact there were aging population. This idea of somebody being of a certain age basically making them ill, you know, somebody I should worry about not surviving being in office, has gotten less and less traction this year. And we're looking beyond that at the person and what they have to contribute. And we're looking at the seasoning that they have as a basis for maybe their ability to actually accomplish what they say they're going to do.
I think we're at that kind of tipping point. How old would Hillary be if she's elected? I think she'd certainly be in her 70s.
Yeah.
Bernie would be the oldest president we ever had, should he ever get that far. And I remember recently hearing an interview, this was 6 months ago, somebody with Governor Jerry Brown, who's obviously extremely popular here in this state and has won a couple of back-to-back terms and could probably keep winning, but the assumption is he's done. He's too old, because he'd be, I think, 80 or something the next go-round.
Right.
And he even said, they said to him kiddingly, well, why don't you throw your hat in, or why don't you do? He said, I'm too old. I'm done. And I thought, I don't know that people are done at 80 anymore. I think we'll live to see an 80-year-old president or something like that.
Okay, but by 2050, the UN estimates for the first time ever the world population will have more people over the age of 65 than children age 5 or younger.
Wow. Say that again.
Okay, by 2050, the UN estimates for the first time ever the world population will have more people over the age of 65 than children age 5 and younger.
Wow. So the
America is certainly doing its part to contribute. As the baby boomers, that's, again, people from 1946 to 1964, begin to enter retirement years. And we've said this on this show over and over and over, that the definition of what it means to be older, whatever it is that we used to think it meant, throw that out the window.
Yeah.
Because the language hasn't even been invented by the generation itself to define itself.
Exactly.
Right?
And I think we're going to split it up into subcategories. I think seniors won't be 55 to 100 anymore. I think there'll be different categories and grades. Maybe a 100-year-old shouldn't be a president, or maybe that doesn't matter. But I don't see why people think you're done at 60 if you've still got 30 more years of life left.
No, and you know, it never made sense. It never made sense that you would basically take people that have accumulated such wealth of knowledge, experience. You know, there's no substitute for experience, really, right?
Right.
I mean, you could think you know that you could handle something, but having handled it is a totally different reality.
Yeah, Greg Rass had been a senior colonel in the Marine Corps. And had all these command positions, wouldn't that be of some value to somebody?
You just said something really funny. You referred to him as a senior in reference to his expertise and level in the organization.
Yeah, that's good when you say it that way.
Right? That's what you just said, right? Yeah. And yet, that is a word we also have when you say senior in a different light.
That's interesting. You
basically look at it differently. Instinctively, you react to senior in like senior president or senior vice president of something, right? You're like, wow, that's a really established position. And then you say senior.
I never thought
without that. And you go, oh, that's a person who's basically.
So if I say you're a senior level commander, that's good. If I say you're a senior level advisor, that's good. If I say you're a senior citizen, that's bad.
That's what I'm saying, right? So isn't that interesting, right? Even the word itself, okay, we look at differently. Right, and here is a population. Here is a generation that basically is going to have a lot to say about what that word is to begin with, and what
means.
It really stands for.
Yeah.
And it hasn't even—I don't think it has even tackled that. And I'll tell you where what we read about, you know, things like the kids. You know, there'll be more people that are 65 than a kid's 5 or younger. Okay, and where that again leading kind of to the second half of the show is there's an aspect of public policy. When you have more people that are 65 on the in the planet than their kids are 5 and younger, it becomes a little harder to basically argue for why funds and resources, which, you know, Greg was talking about, right? We're spending all this money on war, but we really need to be spending on something else. You're going to have a problem arguing about how to spend all this money on basically the development of schools.
Right.
When you got more senior, more people that are 65, you see, I almost fell into that trap myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People that are more 65 or older than there are people, the kids that are 5 or younger. Why should I be building more schools? I should be doing something else, all right?
Senior centers or something.
Health and wellness for the boomer generation, right? Which is kind of what we want to focus on.
One of your favorite hot topics, transportation. When people can't get around as easily. Who's going to take them to the doctor? Without public transportation, how are they going to move
around?
This
is the thing that drives me nuts. I can go and sit down into senior discussion after senior discussion put on by, you know, one advocate for senior this and one advocate for senior that about the fact of how I can talk to my parents that are in, you know, up there too, mm-hmm. right, about giving away their driving license so that my dad doesn't keep hitting the garage every time they pull out, right?
Right. Or worse.
But how is that even viable, an option for me to talk to them about, when there's no alternative?
I'm dealing
with... Where's the public transportation factor? Why am I going to limit my parents' independence?
My 92-year-old aunt, who we talk about a lot on the show, I bring up a lot, she still drives. I'm not sure she should. But if she didn't, she has no children, she has nobody else, she lives alone, how would she get her groceries? How would she get to the doctor?
Right. Right. And if she doesn't do it independently... Then guess what? I have to take her?
Yeah. And she's 2 hours
away. So the
away
impact
from
on
her.
Family dynamics and stress and all that stuff. And, you know, right. So those are some of those realities. I mean, we would talk about, like, you know, the aging of the world population. And we just still deal with it like, oh, we're just going to build two double-story houses and we're going to have families come in and raise their kids and do that. And you know,
somehow
we're still
those
like
people, when they
years.
Get older, they'll go somewhere else and we'll herd them all together. We'll warehouse them. We'll put them in a community. And somehow we won't have to worry about them anymore.
As a boomer, is that what you want?
No.
Okay, exactly. So that the whole dynamic is changing. It's actually kind of the box is being blown to to smithereens.
I'll give you the other one that you've talked a lot about in this show that I'm living with her right now. Because Obamacare, they were not able to get through the home health care subsidy part of it. The idea, everybody recognizes that seniors want to stay in their house as long as possible, and it's cheaper to keep them in their house as long as possible rather than putting them into a facility, and they'll live longer and have a happier life, which impacts everybody, right? Nothing but good. And yet, nobody pays for this. Medicare doesn't pay for it. Blue Cross private insurance doesn't pay for it. So my aunt right now could stay where she is, independent, but for the fact that she doesn't have the resources to pay somebody to come in and help her.
Okay, I'm jaded as hell, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll say this. All right, I am. I'm just jaded. I'll admit it. Hello, my name is Rod, and I'm jaded. I've been jaded so long, I don't know how else to be, right? But I will tell you this. I think we're always going to have a problem with paying for it. I think we talk about all this, and we focus on how do we pay for it and all this stuff. Yeah. I think we're always going to have a problem with paying for it. I mean, it's just economics 101. The more we want it, the more expensive it's going to get. And the more options that you want, the more expensive those options are going to get. And we basically live in a capitalistic society that is going to take advantage of every single one of those things that I want, and they're going to put a premium price on it.
But let me
this
give you
the
counter
way it's
to that, and I'll give
but
you
there needs to be a safety net. There needs to be something that actually deals with the reality of life.
But I'll go one further than that, beyond the safety net. Let's just look at the economics.
So wow, that sounded really jaded.
Pure economics. My aunt falls a lot because she's very weak. She has a rare form of cancer, and she's very anemic. So when she falls, she breaks stuff, right? And when she breaks stuff, she goes to the emergency room, which is the most expensive health care there is. And then she gets put into a hospital, and then they'll pay for rehabilitation for a period of time.
Right.
If somebody would continue that rehabilitation, it would prevent her from falling, could prevent her from falling, which would save all of that money that the insurance company, either the private insurance or the public insurance options are paying for. If you kept her from falling, it would cost
all of us as a society less. Right. Preventive, the same thing. Okay, and I think this is a perfect time to actually introduce our guest for the second hour, right? Jessica Wadley is part of my spa family, my industry spa family, okay? Mm-hmm. We've known each other for a long time, and I really think, and I want to read this as far as boomers goes, okay? Healthcare system. Okay, will certainly have its hands full as boomers continue to retire in droves. Okay, by 2030, about 60% of boomers will experience more than one chronic health condition.
Yes.
Okay, so to your point, Paul, okay, we need to figure out other ways than just the traditional get them to an emergency room when it's too late to deal with this.
Pay for services.
And we in the industry, so Jessica, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
And basically, we need to talk about alternatives. We need to talk about empowerment alternatives, okay,
yes.
that are almost part of your regular regiment of preventive wellness, okay? And the spa industry, which a lot of people look at the spa industry, I think, still even today as being a source of, well, you go get that pampering massage or that
affluent
facial.
It's just for the affluent.
It's a luxury item thing, right? The spa industry for the last couple of years, I'd say probably at least the last 5 years, has itself had been struggling in trying to get wrap its arms around this bigger issue, which is wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
is it for pampering, or is there a deeper purpose?
Right, and I think if you ask anybody that has been a regular user of any of these, the self-care component, whether you call it a luxury, a pampering, or a real need,
mm-hmm.
okay, like I actually use a neti pot pretty much on a daily basis, and I definitely use it.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, I'll explain to you. But I specifically use it
like a hairnet or something.
No, that's what do you call me, nappy, when I come in?
Natty.
Sorry, nappy is a different thing.
Nappy is a whole different, right?
All right. So, God, we just got racist on this show.
No.
But I use a neti pot almost on a daily basis as part of my regimen to basically fend off flu. Okay.
What is it?
It's like a teapot that basically you put a little bit of a saline or salt-based, solution in there with warm water, not hot water. Don't ever do hot water. I'd like to do it when I'm in the shower. This show is just going everywhere.
Wow, this is a little freaky.
Downhill. But basically.
Do you do it in the nude?
I do. In the shower.
Now we're really going downhill.
Basically, okay.
Ooh, let me picture that.
Hey, I'm comfortable with my. I've been in this industry too long, right? We're comfortable here. And with that being said, you definitely don't want to miss next week's show.
Okay.
So
I may miss.
So
next
you
week's
what, show. What it does basically, it's a sinus clean.
Oh, okay.
You run warm soothing water with an irritant like saline based irritant like salt. Where it's diluted through your sinus passages, so you clear out any blockage, any beginnings of impurities.
So this is what you snort, huh?
Well, remember, you're the boomer who snorts. I'm the boomer wannabe that basically uses a neti pot.
I see. Okay.
But my point is, that's my part of my regular health regimen.
Interesting.
Right? And it also basically factors into my 5 minutes or 10 minutes every morning that I use to basically balance myself and establish a calmness so that I can tackle on my day.
You had the other guy in here talked about this process. That sounded pretty wild. I'm not sure I completely understand it or believe it, but how they build bone density.
Yes, we were talking about like how to fend off osteoporosis and how to basically, again, the key word that keeps coming up on this show is proactive and preventive.
Prevent yourself from getting sick. Prevent yourself.
I mean,
from
look at how much mileage Kaiser got out of changing their approach to what they say how they handle and deliver medical care is it's preventive,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's proactive, okay? And all of a sudden, you feel like you're very much more empowered.
Well, let's bring your guest in because she's not going to be empowered to say much or review stuff.
Well, she's enjoying the show too much, I think. Jessica?
So what do you do and how does that empower people?
Well,
give a little background about yourself.
Sure, certainly. Well, on the heels of Greg, I grew up with thing. Ultra-liberal mother and an ultra-conservative father. So that whisked me into a career of health and wellness.
Yeah, you pretty much knew you had to get healthy.
Exactly.
That's very good.
No, but on the heels of being preventative, we do a lot of work with Oak Works and a manufacturing company with the Mayo Clinic. And the Mayo Clinic statistics say that 80% of all diseases are actually preventable.
Wow, really? 80%.
80% of all diseases.
I believe it.
So, we talk about spa and we talk about health and wellness, and it's not frivolous at all by nature. I think that, and when we take a look at different services and fitness and health and wellness, it's more accessible than mm-hmm. it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm. And affordable, actually.
And affordable and widespread.
You get chains the Green Door and other things that are out there. That
well, you have the upper echelon, but I think what's happened is there's a lot more options for where you can go get that guidance.
Certainly.
Yeah,
and the truth is that the customer, who we are today, we may go choose to have something accessible in a strip mall, mm-hmm. and then be on a luxurious resort, in the Caribbean at the same time. So mm-hmm. the consumer is really crossing over today, mm-hmm. And making it adaptable to their lifestyle. It's not one in the same, especially being in Orange County and in this part of the world and where we are affluent today. most of the population here is very savvy,
right,
and very fitness oriented
and informed. I mean, mm-hmm. you're sensory overloaded with information actually today.
And I think that pretty much defines the baby boom, at least in the more active coastal areas. They're informed, they're interested, yes. and they're engaged. They're trying to stay healthier and fitter longer. They're trying to be preventive in their
approach. So you've been in the industry for a while, Jessica.
Yep.
I mean, okay,
20 years.
20 years in the industry. That's
yes.
you know, it's not a short time. And you,
I'm she's sure, only 30. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. She started real early. She got out of that house because
started
of the unhealthy environment.
Started when I was two. Yes.
Yeah. But basically. I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it from another perspective. But there's been a lot of changes that happened in the industry,
mm-hmm.
right? So how is some of the stuff that we're talking about factoring into the industry? Because, I mean, you're talking about, you know, avoiding injuries that are common with boomers, especially as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simply stretching. I hear a lot mm-hmm. more people now when they get up in the morning. It's just very common for them to stretch as well as meditate. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you seeing that are from the industry side that are maybe health trends or things like that that are different from what it used to be?
I think that we're seeing people opt for massage, facials, treatments for maybe a special occasion, getting a little taste of it,
mm-hmm.
and then weaving it into their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Much so more for, and it's interesting, we talk about stretching, we talk about therapeutics. You know, there's even now franchises and physicians and a lot of PT aren't pleased with this, but the reality is that there's even franchises nationwide where people are walking in just for stretching purposes.
Oh, wow.
So we're starting to see people adapt more of those perceived luxury treatments as part of their health and stretching and wellness and part of their pain management, even if you will, and we're seeing it help greatly. And I think you're also seeing physicians adapt, you know, an all-encompassing philosophy, whether it be
more of a holistic
approach and endorsing it and weaving it into the overall treatment plans for whatever it is that they're experiencing.
You know, the funny thing is, let's talk about kind of just sort of realm of exercise, right? Mm-hmm. You remember the days when, you know, every infomercial out there was basically, you know, some heavy impact sweat kind of situation, you know, exercise, aerobics exercise. Do you know that 83% of baby boomers said that when they exercise, they're more likely to walk as a form of exercise?
Wow.
83%.
Wow.
Okay. Only a quarter of boomers recommend the level of aerobic exercise that's like 37 that is, yeah, 37% of them admit that they've never done any strength training. And that goes back to last mm-hmm. week when we were talking about that and get knowing in advance whether you're subject to possibly having osteo problems.
Well, we got to get more low impact. Let me give you another odd corollary. You guys have worked in the health spa industry. I worked for a number of years with clients in the hot tub, which calls itself the spa industry. Now they're trying to, you know, take over some of that.
This is the Rod Life Hot Top Time Machine, courtesy of Paul Roberts.
And I only bring it up because years ago I worked for some of the big manufacturers, Sundance, Jacuzzi, and whatnot. And one of the founders of that company said, you know, in the beginning we just sold it as the Playboy lifestyle. Ooh, we're all going to get naked, jump in a hot tub.
Bum, bum, chicken.
And then we just sold it to everybody had little kids, and it was like a cheap little pool. It was a way to entertain everybody. He said, really, the last 10 years or so, it's all been about health and wellness. There, who knew that these things really did help you feel better and increase circulation and deal with pain management? First thing they do when you get a knee replacement is put you in warm water therapy and do that. And the hottest product right now in the hot tub industry is the swim spa, which is a low impact.
Where you're swimming against the current.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which I remember 10 years ago when that thing came up, everybody
yes.
looked at it like, what is
yeah.
this thing?
And that is the hot product yeah. in the industry. It's been the one category that keeps going up while, you know, hot tubs have kind of cooled off because of their price, and I can live without it. But as the baby boomers get older, it fits exactly what you're talking about. They're finding ways to work low-impact aerobic exercises into things. They're not really looking for the high-impact stuff anymore here like they once did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and let me just say this, because all these people go, oh, this is just a bunch of old folks, basically. So let's give them some, you know, what is that? It's not feng shui. What's the thing I'm talking about? The low impact tai chi.
Tai chi.
Okay, let's give them, you know, get them all in the park. Get them all in the park and do yoga and tai chi, and you know, bless their hearts. We'll just drive really quick on our way to our busy life, right? Let me explain something. Baby boomers have more discretionary income. Yes, their portfolio's value may have gone down, but they have more discretionary income than any other age group. Okay, they control most of the net worth of American households and account for 40% of the total consumer demand.
Especially as your kids grow up and move out on their own, that money you used to spend
for them. Again.
Yeah,
it's me time again, right?
Yeah.
And that translates into discretionary expenditure. Translates like, you know, what we're talking about with Jessica, you know, as far as fitness and wellness. So the cool thing about this is that it seems overwhelming. But we're probably most prepared than we have ever been to take on those risks and do things differently.
Because we're going to have to. One, because whether we like it or not, we're going to live longer. So we don't want to spend those 30 years in a nursing home. Two, we don't have the money to go into a nursing home and take care of these things. So one, if we prevent this, that'll keep us living better longer. And I think three, we're going to start new careers and new things. We're not just going to be on coast. We're not just going to be on cruise control here. So if I'm going to stay if I'm going to start a new job, start a new career, Greg Rask getting into politics after retiring from the military after 30 years, we have to be in better shape than previous generations.
And people are going, oh, so what's Jessica? Why is Jessica's input on this? You've been involved in getting a lot of exposure for companies. Mm-hmm. You've been involved on sort of the PR side of things. Mm-hmm. You've worked for some heavy hitters in the industry, both mm-hmm. locally and nationally. Mm-hmm. So again, trend-wise, okay, this is here to stay, right? This is not something that is, oh, well, you know, this is going to be a couple of years, and then it's a change of mindset, I think, right?
It's not a fad.
Rad and I travel a lot, and we're across the country a lot, and, mm-hmm. and we're in a huge wellness boom right now from a PR standpoint. But the reality is as you travel the country, there's still a lot of people who are not well-informed.
Yeah. When you get away from the coast and go back to the Midwest where I grew up, it's still overweight and obese and lack of movement. And
I mean, you can see it in the food selections from, you know, Starbucks here has all the protein packs. If I'm in the South, those don't even exist when you're in various Starbucks.
A third of boomers, by the way, in the U.S. are obese. A third.
Wow.
A third. And we're also seeing, you know, diseases at an all-time high. So we haven't made, you know, the impact that we think that we have. We're in this Orange County bubble.
Yeah.
We're in an Orange County bubble, certainly.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, you know, I think trend-wise, you know, you see a lot of individuals, you know, creating experiences. When it comes to fitness, it's about keeping it fun. We're bringing sports back into fitness. It's no longer boring, big box gyms, those types of things.
Right.
Those are the types of things that you see because we have to start building habits. I'm Gen X and Gen Y. You know, the early years of the boomers are starting to build those habits now. But the reality is the boomers didn't grow up with those healthy habits.
Oh, no.
That was not the era that they grew up. So it'll be interesting to see as time progresses and as we move along what happens with Gen X and Gen Y and the quality of life.
Yeah, you guys got no excuse. We have the excuse that at least nobody talked about this until we were in our 20s maybe, where we started to get healthy and holistic and whatnot, 20s or 30s. For the first 20 years, it was drinking out of the garden hose and eating
fried
food.
You know what? In most
everything
cases,
unhealthy.
I'll tell you what I think will motivate you generation as boomers to actually adopt this.
Yeah.
Cost.
Well, I think we're wholesale into it, but her point is well taken.
Yeah,
it wasn't a habit we formed early on in life. You guys have the opportunity to form, and my children, the so-called millennials, have a chance to absorb this. And oddly enough, they seem to be almost rejecting it a little bit. They're fatter than anybody else here in many ways, and less movement on computers and smartphones.
Which again, gives you more information. Like, you can track yourself. You can keep yourself on that routine a lot easier today than you ever were. You can have that accountability partner electronically with you every step of the way, literally, every day. This kind of leads me to what's coming up on June 11th, okay, mm-hmm. which is Global Wellness Day.
Yes, right.
Okay, and I want to give the website to everybody. Global Wellness Day website is www.globalwellnessday.org. It's a nonprofit organization, and it's been around for a couple of years, but it's gotten a lot of traction. And it basically, I encourage everybody to go to the website and check it out. Jessica and Oakworks have said yes to Global Wellness Day. You said yes.
We have said yes.
And And I think anybody that is interested should go find out. And I encourage you to take the pledge that's on the website. We're not trying to get money out of you. We're just always saying is help spread the word of the importance of wellness in today's society and today's way of life. Because we all, it's not just a fad.
We really need it. We need to make it a habit
for a whole bunch of reasons.
Well, I have to make a habit of cutting the show off every time because you get to the interesting stuff right at the end here, and we're going to have to bring your guest back.
Well, I will be back.
I did it on purpose because I'm leading for next week.
Excellent.
What's happening next week?
So again, next week, everybody, do not miss it.
I think I'm going to be.
You will see Paul in a totally different light.
Any Roberts
family members should tune in.
Case in point, I don't know if I'm spoiling it, but never experienced.
Yeah, never experienced. We're not saying what, but right. Paul has had a real. You know, he's actually
I've lived
kinda,
the hippie lifestyle.
Even with that, you know, you're like, I did this and I did that and whatever. It broke my heart when I heard from you that you did not do this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And next week,
we're going to do it.
After the show?
Live.
You can't say that anymore.
Yikes. I'm going to have to really think.
So tune in, everybody, next Wednesday to The Rad Life, 12 to 1 at octalkradio.net. And I promise you will not be disappointed.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.